take us back on when you started getting involved with music. At which age did your ear start flaring up and you started hearing sound waves coming through, and which type of music kind of you started off being mostly attracted to?
How did that make you feel as well, I guess?
Yeah, totally. I attribute me starting producing and then recording. I started producing first, just doing like remixes and just getting my hands on like really shitty acapellas on YouTube and just building beats on those when I was in first year uni, so 17. Yeah. And at that time, the reason why I was doing it was because I love listening to this one producer by the name of Alchemist, DJ Alchemist.
Oh yeah, he's dope.
Yeah, so his beats to me were just like absolutely fire. I just love the way he flipped old school samples. So I jump on YouTube and find old school samples. And then I worked my way through Fruity Loops or FL Studios at the time and started cutting up samples and trying to just be like him.
Yeah.
And then being in uni, especially in North America and in Canada, like when you're in first year, you live in a dorm and there may be six or seven floors in your dorm.
Yep.
And there's thousands of kids in your I guess dorms really, right? In those buildings. And so each floor you kind of you like it's your friends, it's your family, it's who you're living next to, right?
Yep.
And so in between, let's say every 10 to 20 rooms, there would be what they call an alcove. And so there would be a couple lunch tables set up, and we would literally just, after all these records that I would cut up, I'd just put them in sets that I would DJ for the kids, for all of us. And we would just drink and have parties in our alcove.
Was this every weekend or kind of after hours?
It was like every day, man.
Okay.
And then was your floor like the floor? People would come to your—
I don't know. Look, I can be like, oh yeah, our floor was so sick. Our floor was the best. No, I think everybody was doing it, but like— me and my roommate were just the guys who would bring out the lunch tables, set up the speakers, you know, the little Bluetooth speakers, you know.
Sounds like a Rick Rubin type thing.
It is.
You know?
It is in the sense that it's so organic. Like we just did it because people want to hear music. And so I had virtual DJ, Fruity Loops, and I'd like, you know, bounce out these tracks or export these tracks and put them into my sets and just like gauge the room and check out who's vibing with this. You know, and that was the thing. I just see people loving it and smiling, having a great time, and mix it with some drinks and beautiful people. And like, it's addictive.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm like, this is my jam. I love it.
Which university did you go to?
University of Guelph. So it's about 45 minutes west of Toronto.
Okay.
And what were you doing at uni?
I studied marketing management.
Yeah, awesome.
Fantastic school, man.
Yeah. Okay, so you're 17 years old. You're mixing acapellas with kind of beats that you've come across and you're sampling and kind of, you know, merging those together. At which point did you start slowly kind of discovering your own identity and your own sound in music, and that transition from being a producer to an artist?
All right, so I'm 29 now.
Yeah, wow.
I was 17 at the time and just figuring out my sound probably about the last 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a process, huh?
Yeah, it's the biggest challenge for any artist, because you love, if you love music, you love an artist not only just for their sound, but based on what they're speaking about and their tone. And it really comes down to them discovering, you know, from the basics, or the basics of just what pitch are they rapping or singing on a song, or what key do they work best in?
Definitely.
Those are all, they go hand in hand with an artist and their sound.
Mm-hmm. So is that cadence? Is that what that is?
Cadence would be, your beats per minute.
Okay.
But your, that'd be the rhythm section of music. Your harmonies and melodies, that would be like the key. The key is your signature. So that's what note or bass or root note that you would perhaps be singing in. So, you know, let's say Ariana Grande, she kills the falsettos, but her key may be like an E minor or something. She might love writing music in E minor and you don't realize it, but let's just say 60% of her music is in the key of E minor,
which is her safety zone.
It's just where she just loves to write.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, like if you look at a basketball player, maybe Steph Curry, he's synonymous with three-pointers. That's his signature.
Yep.
And that could be the same for musicians.
I see. So is that why because I think like some artists are like perfect to run to, for example, soccer, when you're like running kind of thing. And is that because they're hitting that sort of whatever tone they hit, it's like suited for like going for a run, I guess, compared to.
That'll come down to the rhythm.
Yeah.
but where they feel most comfortable with their own voice as an instrument may be in that particular range.
Yeah. Well, I'm all about the lyrics. Like I only really listen to lyricists. So yeah, I'm running to the lyrics, I guess, rather than the beat.
And it's, very strange. I'm interesting. The opposite.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm the opposite.
I hear
I'm a B-man.
Yeah.
I hear that phrase and like, I know it's coming. And as I'm running, it's like, he's about to say it. He's about to say it. And
that's crazy.
It and
who are you listening to? Because you're Pusha T. Like you and I are hardcore into Pusha T. But who have you been listening to lately?
Lately, I've been listening to Saba.
Okay.
He says some real stuff. Yeah. Lately, I've just been like on shuffle lately. But there's like if I think about my hype playlist, which is all for running, it's all lyricists. It's all like Outkast and.
What about the Royce? What's his name?
Royce the 5'9". Yeah.
That's your guy.
I nearly vomited the other day. I was running so fast. He went
double time on you. And you tried to keep up.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it's interesting that you did the marketing major as well. Because do you find that sort of helps with like the progression of your music as well? Of how you even thinking about those dorm room parties, like were you kind of factoring in the skills you were learning into bringing people into these like alcoves?
I always found that university is not for everybody, but university, regardless if you're a specialist or not, really helps you think a certain way, depending on what course you're taking. I found with marketing management, I started to see the world in a different way from a marketing perspective. So that's what I took out of it the most. Like the homework and all the exams and stuff, the whole system is super mundane to me.
Yep.
But by the end of it, I took out that A, networking is amazing, and B, that everybody's selling themselves in some shape or form.
100%.
Yeah.
And those are the two things that I realized from uni.
Yeah, awesome.
Failed a few courses, but I got there in the end.
Yeah. I took the same exact course in Auckland, New Zealand.
Oh, and right.
Absolutely hate university. Did the bare minimum, but similar to you, I picked out things that mattered to where I was going, you know, for my next chapter, and kind of dished all the other mundane shit. Cause I was just, you know, I was being selfish with it and just getting C averages just to kind of get through. But, I totally get what you mean in terms of allowing you to think a certain way, but also if you're savvy enough, you'll selfishly pick out certain things to put in your toolkit.
That's really interesting. Cause I was complete opposite. Like back then I didn't understand the importance of, networking and like the network that I could have created when I was at uni, and I was more on the HD side, just like trying to kill every project. And it's not until now, like probably same sort of thing, like 3 years ago, where I really realized how important that network is and starting to build that now. But it's interesting that it's like opposite sides.
Going back to what you were saying that only 2 years ago, you started really honing in on your sound. Can you describe that for us and kind of who inspires you as part of that process? Like how did you get there?
I think the biggest inspiration comes from trial and error. Definitely. When you start to put out music or when you start to put out a product in general, you get feedback directly from the consumer or the fans. And you just figure out what resonates with people and what they expect from you. It's a good thing to be put in a box in this case because you want to have a consistent sound as an example. People want to expect something and look forward to something, especially if you're new and you're on the come up. People want to see you do a certain style. So when I mean that I've been kind of finding my sound the past couple of years, that's when I dropped the project Astro. And the first project that I dropped was more of release therapy for me. It's more of a, oh my goodness, I'm actually going to do this. I'm going to be like under scrutiny. Put the track out or put the album out and you just look back at it now, you just laugh. You're like, shit, man, that was so good. I'm so glad I got that out of my system because it was trash, but I'm happy I did it.
Yeah.
The next project, it was a year and a half in between. So I really spent my time honing in on my craft from a mixing, mastering standpoint, from an engineering standpoint.
Yeah.
And then still producing all my own records and recording myself by myself.
Oh, so you're producing and recording.
Produce, record, everything. Engineer.
Yeah, wow.
And write as well.
And write, of course.
Yeah.
And you're also self-taught. You haven't taken a music course or anything.
No, YouTube is my music school.
That is amazing, man. That's amazing. Props to you.
So the thing is that when I put that album out, I was starting to go in this direction of kind of upbeat hip hop / rap. It was like feel good hip hop and rap. It wasn't about attitude. It wasn't about the struggle. It was just about feeling good, but to hip hop.
Yeah.
And that really resonated with people.
Mm.
And then I started putting out some records that were a bit more dance or new disco. And that was resonating with people. And
but
so
still on the hip hop kind of end or yeah, a bit more and on that, the pop?
Well,
or would you, well, how'd you describe it?
And well, this is funny because I've put out records that are both, they're no question pop.
Mm.
I did a track called Rendezvous with Haley Teal.
Oh yeah, cool.
And it was really pop.
Yeah.
And just didn't do very well.
Mm, interesting.
But Trial and Error.
Yeah.
It was great to put the record out. And then I've done records where I've gone really hip hop, but still feel good, like Nothing to Lose.
Yep.
With Mans of the Legend on it. He's another rapper from Melbourne.
Cool.
And that song took me to LA where I ended up winning a $50,000 US competition and a 20 city tour.